Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Are you facing a complex installation, expansion, greenfield project, or maintenance project? Make the smart choice. C.R. Meyer, a nationwide industrial general contractor, specializes in the pulp and paper industry. Our skilled millwrights, pipe fitters, iron workers, boiler makers, carpenters, laborers, cement finishers, operators, and a team of experienced project managers, architects, and engineers are safe, effective, and efficient on any project, planned or unplanned. Take the smart step toward getting your next project finished safely and done well. Contact C.R. Meyer at crmeyer.com.
The following column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan reading it for Jim. Jim entitled his column, "Does Converting Old Assets Make Any Sense?" And here's what he has to say about that. Converting newsprint machines to produce liner board has become the rage in recent times. There's also been at least one mill that has converted a portion of its directory paper business to tissue. They did replace the machines, they just used the old buildings. Then there are facilities planning to tear down old machines to build new ones in the same grades. This latter idea makes sense to me. The two former ideas, I'm not so sure. If you're tearing out old machines to replace them with machines that more nearly fit the trim width of today, I think that may be worthwhile. All the other things are in place to make that mill work: fiber supply, customer base, logistics. These key components are centric about this mill site already and bring an important collection of valuable assets, tangible and intangible, to the scenario. These just may overcome other negatives, which could include an aging or recalcitrant workforce, poor on-site logistics, and so forth. I don't see this, though, when talking about converting a newsprint machine to linerboard or a directory paper mill to tissue. What are you saving? What are you losing? Essentially, it seems to me that one is sacrificing some key advantages for the sake of saving an old pile of iron when one decides to convert an existing machine to an entirely different grade. Look at what may be wrong or suboptimum in such a conversion: fiber source, energy systems, water and effluent systems, markets, and logistics. Up close to the machine, vacuum systems may be inadequate or worn out. All of the electrical components may be out of date, out of spec, and may not meet code. It's also likely that the computer system will have to be completely replaced. On top of all this, the fit of the existing labor pool to the new configuration may be completely out of alignment. So at the end of the day, what have you saved and why have you done this? One reason may be that the assets, due to all the gyrations in the newsprint industry, just to pick a grade and example, are not realistically valued on the books. Thus, it will be a big hit to the balance sheet to scrap them. This is a bad reason to go down this path, perhaps should even be called fiduciarily criminal. For what leadership has done in such a case is condemn the subject facility to decades of poor performance, which no doubt they and their successors will attempt to cover up with more, as yet unconceived, management and financial shenanigans. If you want to get into a new grade, do it properly. Start with a clean sheet of paper, so to speak. Analyze the markets, the raw materials, and the logistics. Then build a state-of-the-art mill in a place your research says makes sense, not some place where you have an overvalued pile of rusty steel. For safety this week, you wouldn't buy a used ambulance for your mill, would you? At least I hope not. Make sure you have the correct emergency equipment and that it is kept in top working order. Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson and is copyright 2018, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Save the date. The Pulp and Paper Industry Reliability and Maintenance Conference, sponsored by IDCON and Andritz, will be held March the 19th through the 22nd in Raleigh, North Carolina. Gain valuable knowledge and skill in reliability and maintenance best practices at the How-To Conference. Sign up early and save. For more information, email r.kent@idcon.com. That's r.kent@idcon.com. Or visit us at pprm.net. Space is limited, so don't delay. Sign up today.
The following column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan, reading it for Jim. Jim entitled his column, Negotiation Enthusiasm. And here's what he has to say about that. When considering capital projects, especially those of larger sizes, I have always been bemused by the owner's team approach to negotiation with goods and services providers. The closer such a provider is to the front end of the project, the more scrutiny, the more vigorous the negotiation process. The engineers withstand the worst of this because they're usually first, but so do capital equipment providers that are early in the process, those with long lead items. The project leader and her team will spend a lot of time analyzing the various bids and approaching them from many different directions in the first few weeks of the project. Later, in the heat of battle, or as the project is nearing the end of the procurement phase, they will spend just as much money on certain items as they do up front, but with a lot less care and enthusiasm. Insurance is a good example of something paid little attention. So are logistics services. Insurance of all types is necessary to execute a capital project, but seldom do I see anyone use a professional broker to bundle these together, a process I believe could save considerable money. Transportation or logistics services could merit further examination and some sort of bundling process as well. I could even see logistics and insurance bundled together in some innovative ways. For instance, if I am paying for insurance to protect from loss of a ship full of my new paper machine parts if it sinks, it seems like there may be duplicate coverage that could at least be consolidated should I also have insurance for protection from loss from a late startup. These would be related events, and there must be some way to combine the coverages, for to some extent they are duplicates, or related at least. If I took all the logistics out of every contract and placed these transportation services with one transportation company, I could also theoretically get a better price than piecemeal here too. If further I added a bonded warehouse on the receiving end to hold the equipment until I need it, more services would be available. But instead, the team thinks these things are a drip here, a drop there, and don't amount to much in the big picture. News flash. Insurance and logistics services often equal the cost of engineering, and when summed into the total project costs, it makes no difference where the dollars are spent. They all drop to the bottom line. Why do we behave so irrationally concerning these expenditures? Because they are in relatively tiny pieces, and we erroneously think we are laying off liability to various suppliers if we let them be inclusive in their contracts. Plus, we have lost our enthusiasm for negotiations. So may I suggest the next time you're assigned a major capital project that you start by bringing in the insurance brokers and the logistics companies and just see what kind of packages they offer you. You may be pleasantly surprised. For safety this week, your construction site is fraught with hazards. hazards that start well before anything arrives on site. Make sure your insurance expert reviews your total plans even before you start. Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson and is copyright 2018, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Are you facing a complex installation, expansion, greenfield project, or maintenance project? Make the smart choice. C.R. Meyer, a nationwide industrial general contractor, specializes in the pulp and paper industry. Our skilled millwrights, pipe fitters, iron workers, boiler makers, carpenters, laborers, cement finishers, operators, and a team of experienced project managers, architects, and engineers are safe, effective, and efficient on any project, planned or unplanned. Take the smart step toward getting your next project finished safely and done well. Contact C.R. Meyer at crmeyer.com.
The following column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan reading it for Jim. Jim entitled his column, Capital Projects Are Often Political, and here's what Jim has to say about that. I have spent much of my career dating back to 1970 in and around capital projects. This predates my entry into the pulp and paper industry around 1974. If I was not up to my elbows in capital projects from my perch, they were fluttering about me. Categorically, I can say capital projects are political 99% of the time. They ensnare both internal and external politics. When I say internal, it's obvious what I mean, I hope. When I say external, there is a double meaning. One, external to the mill, but internal to the company. And two, external to the company and cognizant within the affected community. Politics, internal or external, and rational decision-making are often mutually exclusive. Hence, many capital projects are done for reasons that will not stand up to rigorous engineering economic scrutiny. Particularly destructive can be early claims made without thorough analysis. These can originate at the mill and be floated up to management. Alternatively, a CEO or other high-ranking official can make a statement to stockholders, the community, or the board, which is not pursued, and will cause this person to lose face. At this point, if there is no reality check, fiction takes over. Due to the nature of a capital project, when fiction takes over, it can become self-perpetuating and grow to fantastic proportions. Unfortunately, when reality sets in, it is far down the road and it arrives with a crash. What is the nature of the crash? Depends on the nature of the fiction. Most often it is a budget that is blown. Sometimes separately, but often in concert with a blown budget, the schedule is blown. Even worse is when, upon startup, it is discovered that the expected performance of the project requires violation of the common laws of physics and/or chemistry. There have been projects that ignored environmental regulations, which can cause untold amounts of grief, even when it is unintentional. How do you tell if a project has a chance of being found out to be fiction? Note, such projects do not become fiction. They were fiction from day one. It's just that no one knew it. Look at its source and how much planning went into making the first announcement about it. Legend has it that a long time ago, a CEO was flying across the country, looked out the window of his plane, saw a point where a couple of rivers joined, and said to others on board, "Someone should build a mill there." 10 years later, his company did. A mill that struggled mightily for 40 years and then was shut. Who knows if this is a true story or not? No doubt all the witnesses to that alleged statement are dead now, but it serves as a great illustration of the kinds of shaky foundations upon which many projects rest. Who is best at sorting the fiction from the fact in capital projects? I think the very large companies do a fairly good job. This is because they nearly always have projects underway and hence have developed an internal cadre of experts to vet them. Other smaller companies who are in a strong growth spurt do a good job too. This vetting lasts as long as the growth spurt does, then it is lost. The companies which are the worst at sorting fact from fiction are old line companies in slow growth grades. These companies usually have a strong cadre of operating personnel who think they know how to do capital projects. After all, what could possibly go wrong? Old Jim Thompson smiles, for here for over 20 years, he's made a nice income being an expert witness in the lawsuits that necessarily follow. The sobering truth is this: any given capital project has a stronger likelihood of being built on a foundation of shaky political pronouncements than not. Be careful as you proceed, no matter your role, be very careful. For safety this week, capital projects bring out the best and worst in safety procedure adjustments. Examine what needs to be done carefully, and do not let it become swept up in the politics. Here, lives, not merely careers, are at stake. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson and is copyright 2018, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA, all rights reserved.